بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse 212 زين للذين كفروا الحياة الدنيا ويسخرون من الذين آمنوا والذين اتقوا فوقهم يوم القيامة والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب Allah provides for whoever he wishes without any reckoning. We discussed the first part of the verse, of course. Only this last sentence, وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ was left to be to elaborate on. Now, there are different meanings about, the commentators have provided different meanings about what does it mean that Allah provides whoever he wishes without account. Very interesting opinions have been mentioned here. One is that what Allah gives is so huge and something that cannot come into account to when people, when they go to Jannah, or even here in this life, Allah gives so hugely and immensely that it doesn't come into calculation. If we can calculate the type of bounties that Allah has given us in our bodies only, let alone the soul and other things, we cannot calculate it. So it's without hisab. Allahu yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. This is one meaning. Wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. You cannot calculate, you cannot make an account of what Allah has given you. The other meaning which is mentioned is that you shouldn't think that what Allah gives in this world, in this life, when we talk about this life, is based on some calculations about who is a believer, who is not a believer, who is a good person, who is a bad person. Don't think about giving of Allah in that terms. Yes, of course, in spiritual matters, what comes in the heart, yes, of course, it's only the believers. That وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا The rahmah comes to believers. But when it comes to other things, intelligence, money, blessings of life, all these things, Allah, you cannot actually count on goodness and badness of people. You see, very bad people have lots of blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see good people who have less blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no such a calculation that you may calculate. As Amirul Mu'min mentions in Nahjul Balagha, فَلَا تَعْتَبِرُ الرِّضَى وَالسُّخْتِ بِالْمَالِ وَالْوَلَدِ Never measure the pleasure and anger of and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with money, blessings that Allah has given to people, because this is not something that we can calculate and somehow say, okay, because this person is this much better, should get this much blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is without hisab. This is another meaning. And when we come to akhirah, of course, it means that in akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give the believers commensurate to their actions. He gives much more. As we have لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٍ There are much more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not in, it cannot be calculated that because I have done this much good, Allah will give me this much reward. Reward is countless when it comes in akhirah. So this is another, the second meaning. The third meaning is that Allah gives and no one can ask him why you give. It's without hisab. So no one is going to make to make him accountable for what he gives to whoever he wishes. So this is another meaning of وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The other meaning, which is very interesting and very nice, is that Allah doesn't give from a set amount that you can say, okay, he has given me 1,990,000 is left. What is with him is infinite. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ Whatever is with Allah remains the same. It's infinity. So whatever number you take out of it, is it still the same? It's, infinity is like that, isn't it? Whatever number you take from infinity, infinity is still the same. So you cannot count that, okay, now Allah has given this much to angels, for example. We know that angels are blessed hugely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This much to human beings, this much to animals, and this much is left in his treasury, isn't it? No, you cannot count it like that. This is another meaning which they have provided for. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Now, let's go to the next verse, which is one of the most important verses of the Quran. Verse 213. كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَأَنزَلَ مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه وما اختلف فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم فهدى الله الذين آمنوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه ولما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء بغير حساب. Mankind were a single community. Then Allah sent the prophets as bearers of good news and as warners. And he sent down with them the book with the truth, that it may judge between the people concerning that about which they had differed. And none differed in it except those who had been given it after the manifest proofs had come to them out of envy amongst themselves. Then Allah guided those who had faith to the truth of what they differed in, by his will, and Allah guides whomever he wishes to a straight path. Now, this is, again, continuation of the previous verses. The verses started with this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً, enter into Islam entirely, wholly, submit wholly, wholeheartedly to Islam. And if you sleep, then you should know that وَعَلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And if they do not do that, would they expect but Allah coming to them في ظلال من القمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر, the angels come. And then it brings an example from Banu Israel. سَلْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَمْ آتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ بَيَّنَةٍ. Ask Banu Israel, how many signs and manifest proofs we gave them, and then they turned it into kufr instead of into appreciation, appreciating it. And then it says this has been the trend in the history. In the history, whenever we sent religion, religion was distorted. Whenever we sent the book, people started to disagree about the content, not because of understandings, because of baghyan bainahum, because of jealousy, because of envy, because of dhulm, which was amongst them. And throughout the history, this has been the case. Allah has guided those who were sincere, and other people were left to themselves, just being happy with having a religion, but of course, Allah would not accept that. Now, the first bit of the verse that I want to talk about today, I don't think we can discuss the whole verse. The first thing is about this kana nasu ummatan wahida. Human being, mankind was a single community. What does this mean? Where was this? Were they single community having the faith, having faith, or a single community of disbelievers? If they had faith, what type of faith they had? And how the disagreement came, if they were a single community, how this disagreement came. So, as I said, Allah is giving this as a consolation to the Prophet, that if your companions and if people after you disagree on faith, if they distort the book, of course, Quran is not distorted, but the meaning can be distorted, isn't it? And the original meaning of tahrif, distortion, is tahrif of the meaning, not tahrif of the words. So if this happens, if people do not comply or do not obey you wholeheartedly, don't worry, this has happened with all religions in the past. Now, ummah here means religion, as all the commentators have mentioned, kana nas ummatan wahida means they were on one faith, they had one religion. It's a sort of anthropological study as well, because anthropologists are very interested in how the past people lived, what was their religion, their culture. And we have two different opinions here, very interestingly. One opinion goes with the idea of anthropologists about religion, that people initially did have a very, very simple, rudimentary religion, fetishism, animism. They believed in the animation of plants, trees, things like that. They did not have that idea of one God. They didn't have the faith in God. One view of commentators in this, that the kana nas ummatan wahida ala kufra. They were one single community, all of them were disbelievers. The majority of commentators, however, say that no, they were one nation, one community of believers. Then they disbelieved. Then they started to disagree about faith, about the attributes of God, about the commands of God and such things. Now, in Shi'i hadith and Shi'i opinion, A'imma alayhi wasalam have given us a middle path here. They were neither kuffar nor believers. They were on fitrah. Before the prophets came, they were on fitrah. Now you may ask, wasn't Prophet Adam the first human being on the earth? So why we say before prophets came? Now they have mentioned, I'll mention what they have said about it. Now, Majmu'ul Bayan says, وَاخْتُلِفَ فِي أَنَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَيَدِينٍ كَانُوا. There's disagreement. This كان الناس أمة واحد. This is a very important, actually, historical information given to us in the Quran, that people were on one single, were one single community. They were not disagreeing. There was no disagreement about between them. Now, a group of commentators have said that كانوا على الكفر. They were all kuffar. They had no religion. Now, what about Prophet Adam? I mentioned that. He mentions it, of course. They have mentioned that as well. Okay, what about them? So this is something which is reported from a minority of the early exegetes. One opinion of Ibn Abbas is mentioned as he believed that they are kuffar, but the stronger opinion was that no, they were muwahideen, they were on faith. And Hassan al-Basri and Al-Jubba'i Al-Mu'tazili has also assumed this belief, that this view, that they were kuffar. And when was this? ثُمَّ اخْتَلَفُوا. Then they disagreed. When was this? This kana nas ummatan. When was this? They said between Adam and Nuh. We know that Nuh is actually the first prophet who was given Sharia. So before him, there may have been prophets, but they were not given Sharia. The first prophet who was given Sharia and book was Nuh alayhi salam. Shara'a lakum min ad-din ma wassa bihi Nuhan walladhi awhayna ilayk wa ma wassayna bihi Ibrahim wa Musa wa Isa. So what Sharia you have is the Sharia we gave to Nuh. The verse doesn't talk about what was going on before Nuh. People didn't have Sharia, of course. They may have had faith, but no Sharia. Sharia came with Nuh, alayhi salam. So they say this sort of a slot in history, kana nas ummatan wahida, people were one community, was between Adam and Nuh, alayhi salam. Some commentators very amazingly have said that they were between Nuh and Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Outright, we have to reject this, because Nuh was a Nabi. How come this says people were one single community? Then Allah appointed the prophets, Nabiyin, and Nuh was a prophet. We cannot say after him. So this view we reject outrightly. And some have said that it is actually saying, telling something about every instance of appointment of prophets. when a prophet was appointed, people were all in kufr, and then they were guided. Again, this is something that we cannot accept, because we know many prophets were appointed to Banu Israel, and they were in faith. So, and they were not a single community. And many prophets were actually sent to mu'minin and believers, rather than to Isa alayhi salam was sent to believers of Banu Israel. So this is not correct as well. Now, what our narrations say? They say, as I said, they say something in middle. In Tafsir al-Ayyashi, from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, it says that kana bayna ma bayna Adam wa bayna Nuh. Between Adam and Nuh, min al-anbiya mustakhfin, they were prophets who were hiding themselves. They could not reveal, because kufr was so widespread, so strong, that prophets could not even mention. Of course, these prophets were not mursaleen. They were people, godly people. Allah revealed things to them for themselves, and they were hiding themselves from these people. وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَفِيَ ذِكْرُهُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And for that reason, nothing is mentioned about them in the Quran. We know that this famous hadith of Abu Dharr, Rahmatullah alayhi, says that the number of the prophets is 124,000, and we only know a few of them. Very few of them we know, actually. And we have in one hadith, in Majmu' al-Bayan mentions that Imam Ali alayhi salam said there were black prophets as well, but Allah has not mentioned them at all, and we don't know them. We don't know, we generally, I mean, the Muslim community, there should have been prophets in different parts of the world, black, yellow, red, or whatever. There should have been prophets, so, but we don't know them. However, what is actually mentioned here is that after Adam alayhi salam, after Qabil killed Habil, he found many followers. Shayth, who was Hibatullah, another son of Adam alayhi salam, who was given in place of Habil to him after he cried so much, he had to hide himself and went into a, with a few followers, he went into an island worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People generally did not believe. And this is how they have actually explained that how is it possible that Adam was there, Shayth was there, and especially for Shia theologians, accepting this is very difficult, because we say that لا يخلو الأرض من حجة. The earth should always have a hujjah, someone who has the knowledge, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, they have said that it doesn't matter. As we said, it's possible there was the hujjah, but hujjah was in hiding, like now, isn't it? The hujjah is in hiding, because he's afraid of people. I mean, don't look at yourselves who are his followers. If Hujjah comes now, you know the billions of people around the world are ready to kill him. So he's in hiding. And the Hujjah in those days also were in hiding. This is one view that can be, as I said, it is Shia theologians have also tried to justify it. Now, the other view is that, no, this is the majority of exegetes. If you go to any commentary of the Quran nowadays, they say that, no, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَهَدَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. They believed after Adam alayhi salam. Now, of course, it's very difficult to understand this, because we know that Qabil left faith. Adam alayhi salam had two sons initially, one of them a believer, one of them a disbeliever, one of them a criminal, one of them a saint. So he had his own clan, his own children, his own. So it's difficult to say that they were ummatun wahida. Yeah, they were kuffar and they were mu'mineen. However, these people have ignored about Qabil. Maybe he just lost the ground after Shayth was given the wilaya, because the whole contention between Habil and Qabil was about wilaya, wasaya, who should be the successor to Adam alayhi salam. This issue about marriage and sisters, and one of them being more beautiful than others, these are myths, stories. because Adam appointed Habil as his wasi, Qabil became angry and said that, why you appoint Habil and not me? The issue of Messiah came in, who should have the authority, and Qabil killed Habil. Now, Shaith, of course, was given authority. Let's put aside Qabil, and we say that there was one community of believers, and Qabil was in waning, his views and his ideas were waning. So if we say that kana nas ummatan wahida, as Majmu' al-Bayan says, wa qala akharun innahum kanu ala al-haq, and they are akthar. It is reported from Ibn Abbas and all his students, Qatada, Mujahid, Ikrama, Dhahak, all say that no, they were believers. كان الناس أمة واحدة. And they were between Adam and Nuh. This is, of course, certainly we shouldn't bring it forward after Nuh. It cannot be after Nuh. It should be before Nuh, alayhi salam. And then the question comes, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله نبي. If they were on faith, how is it possible then, it says, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا, then Allah appointed the prophets to judge between them in what they had disagreed. They say, okay, there is something in taqdeer. There's an ellipse here, and that is, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا فَاخْتَلَفُوا فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ. And we understand this from what comes later on, that لَيَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ مَخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. So they were one ummah, they started to disagree. As soon as they started to disagree, Allah appointed prophets. Now, I said that the Shi'i narrations is something in between. They are not kuffar as we understand, they were not believers as we understand. Not hidayah was not given to them, but they were on fitra. They were on fitra. What is the fitra of human being? The fitra of human being is that they should respect the rights of others. They should be honest. This is what we see call as conscience, isn't it? This is our fitra. We should not want everything for ourselves. This is fitra. People were living like this, like a commune. They didn't have this, this is mine, this is yours, the property. Now, Allama Tabatabai says the first disagreement came based on this fitra as well, because part of the fitra is that we want to employ everything for ourselves. And gradually people who were stronger, more intelligent, they started to exploit others. And this is slavery and such things that we see. It's all because it's in the fetra of human being that they want to exploit everyone else. Everything, including other human beings. Including, for example, men would exploit their wives if they can, if there's no law. Men exploit other people as slaves if they can. They do it. So initially, they were one nation. They were on the fetra. This fitra actually gave way to other aspect of fitra, and that is the greed, exploitation, and they started to exploit each other. The rich, the strong, started to exploit others, the strong, and by the strength they became rich. Then Allah sent a law. If it was only on fitra, it was enough. But since they actually abused the fitra, Allah sent a law, and there was the prophets, that this is the limit that you can exploit others. You cannot exploit them, you only can employ them. You should not do wrong, you should not tell lies, you should not this. And Allama Tabatabai says that this is the origin of law. And every nation later on, secular laws, secular societies, when they legislated laws, they all followed the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the prophets. So he says the origin of legislation comes from God. And then, of course, other people learned to legislate what is just, what is unjust. So kana nas ummatan wahida on their fitra. And then they misused that fitra of taking all the benefits for themselves. Allah sent the prophets because they had disagreed. Now, we have something which approves this idea in, again, a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that the Rawi asks that when people were on one faith, أَفَظُّلَّالًا كَانُوا قَبْلَ النَّبِيِّينَ أَمْ عَلَى هُدَى, were they on guidance or they were misguided? Where did they have faith or they were just ظُلَّال, going astray? قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, Imam عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, لَمْ يَكُونُوا عَلَى هُدًى. Of course, there was no hidayah. The messengers did not bring them hidayah. كَانُوا عَلَى فِطْرَةِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَهُمْ, they had their own fitra. And this is what actually Allah will judge those people who are not given religion with the fitra. There are many people around the world, many islands in many faraway islands, people live, they never have had prophets. They worship idols and this. Allah judges them on their fitra, whether they follow their fitra or they do not follow their fitra. Of course, they are deprived of guidance. And Allah would compensate it for them probably because Allah hasn't sent them guidance. But this is how they are going to be judged by Allah later on. As animals are going to be judged, we know, I mentioned this, that there were two animals, two rams were ramming each other. And Allah, the Prophet said, do you know why are they, what is their contention about? Why are they quarreling? The companion said, no. The Prophet said, but Allah knows and knows who is zalim and who is mazlum. And Allah will take compensation from the zalim for mazlum, will make qisas of that. Now, if that is the case, human beings who don't have this guidance, of course, would be treated the same way. And this is why we say mustaz'afun, those who have not received guidance, would never go to hell. They will be treated in a different way. Their judgment is based on their fitra, not on the guidance that others have received. So, لَمْ يَكُنُوا عَلَى هُدَى كَانُوا عَلَى فِتْرَةِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. The khalq of Allah never changes. Allah puts in your fitra kindness, puts in your fitra caring for others, puts in your fitra the sense of justice. Nowadays, even we question God. Are you just? Is God just? Isn't it? This is the sense of justice that Allah has placed in us. So, لا تبديل لخلق الله. No human being comes to this world without this fitra. And if guidance hasn't come, Allah will judge them based on that. وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا لَيَحْتَدُوا حَتَّى يَحْدِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. They couldn't have been guided to something above the fitra, better than that, unless Allah had guided them. أَمَا تَسْمَعُ بِقَوْلِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ لَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِينَ. Haven't you heard what Ibrahim says in the Quran? That if Allah would not guide me, I will be from Zalin. Means those people who were before the prophets, from Zalin, from those who are astray. And Imam said, it means Nasiyan. للميثاق means that I forget the ميثاق. ميثاق is what is in our fitra, that we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It needs a reminder, and the prophets should come and remind us for that. It's in our fitra, but it needs a reminder. Now, Allama Tabatabai says that this is very interesting, that ناسيان للميثاق. It means that the prophets, the true sincere believers of high caliber, they always remember the misaq. Their act is based on that misaq. Ordinary believers, they are actually, it's accepted from them that they are remembering the misaq, although they are not. But the real guidance is when we remember that mithaq, the covenant between us and Allah for worshipping Him and believing in Him as the unique and one God. Now, some other commentators, as I said, for example, Fi Dhilal al-Qur'an, Sayyid Qutb mentions that, this is after Adam and Hawa, until the Nuh, they didn't have any ikhtilaf in their views, they were in one faith. Mughniya, Tafsir Kashif, says, Kanu ala al-Fitra, based on that hadith that we had, and all others would say the same thing. So here, just to conclude what I mentioned here, is that human beings were on one single community, They didn't have any disagreements among themselves. Gradually, they started to disagree based on superiority, that this is mine, I exploit other people, I enslave other people to work for me, it's okay to do that. Then Allah sent the prophets to لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, to judge between people, فِي مَخْتَلَفُ, because some people said, this is not right. You cannot enslave other people. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. They disagreed over these things and also about God itself, that God should be like that. Some were ghali, some were extremists from this side or that side. The prophets came to judge between them and tell them the truth. And then there was another disagreement which was worse than the previous disagreement. And that was the religion itself became a point of contention and disagreement, which is more severe. And Allah is going to actually take these second people who disagreed on this more accountable than the first type of people, which is mentioning this. As I said, it's all in the context of the previous verses saying that you have to wholeheartedly enter into Islam. You shouldn't think that as soon as you confess Islam, you are saved, you achieve salvation. No. Ask Banu Israel how many signs we gave to them and look what has happened. And all these things. So here, a sort of a sweeping study of the history is mentioned in this verse. Inshallah, we leave this for next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much indeed, Sheikh. A little bit challenging about the fitra, but anyway, open the floor for discussion. Anybody? Yeah? Any?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, it doesn't seem to me that there was any period where there was this golden age where everybody had the same. I mean, the moment Adam had two children, there was a difference in religion. It's like the Sunnis believe that in the time of the Prophet, everything was wonderful, and it wasn't. As soon as the Prophet declared Islam, there was a hypocrite. So where is this time between Adam and Nuh? Because it seems, and even in front of Adam's eyes, there wasn't that time.
Well, it is disagreement in religion, or in fitra. Okay. Now there may have happened a couple of individual cases, one-off cases like Qabil killing Habil, but generally they were on their fitra.
But you're saying even with Sheikh, as soon as he declared or he was given wasila, he went into hiding because a group of people were against him.
Yeah. So there was no faith as such. There was no guidance as such. But still, people were on their fitra in managing the relationship within themselves. This is what Allama Tabatabai says. In managing their relationship among themselves, although they did not receive guidance from Allah, but in managing their affairs, they had that fitra guidance until people greed started to take hold of people and exploiting one another. This was when real prophets came, like Nuh alayhi salam. And initially we see what sort of resistance was against him. The type of resistance that we see against Nuh, we cannot see against any prophet. I mean, 950 years preaching and only a handful of people believing in him and torturing him, beating him up, and all these things, it shows that initially the whole human race was very much resistant to this guidance. And gradually, of course, and we see, for example, in the case of our prophet, in case of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, the situation changed. People were more receptive of that.
Thank you. Any sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Two questions. Firstly, how long approximately is this period of golden age or where people followed their fitrah and lived in harmony? Are we talking about?
We cannot say it was golden age, because golden age is when Allah sends the guidance, of course. Okay. But the Bible puts the time span between Nuh and Adam alayhi salam, 10 generations. So 10 fathers between Nuh and Adam alayhi salam. But this is certainly not acceptable with us. And the Prophet says, never try to take my lineage up to Adam, because قَالَ اللَّهُ وَقُرُونًا بَيْنَ ذَلَكَ كَثِيرًا. There are so many generations which you don't know about. It may have been several thousand years, several tens of thousand years between Adam and Nuh. We don't know about it. And the account of the biblical account, which is somehow accepted by most of our commentators as well, has flaws in it. And even scientifically nowadays, we know that the life of man on the earth is much longer than what the Bible mentions, about 7,000, 8,000 years.
Okay, so we wouldn't...
We don't know.
No? Okay. And secondly, if we're saying that they lived in their fitra, they, and man's sort of nature is, you know, kindness and all the good qualities and virtues that you'd mentioned, but then if we are inclined to deviate from that, does that not then become a part of the fitra itself?
It becomes part of our nature, but not part of what Allah has created in us. You know, yes, deviation from fitra always happens, but it becomes like a second nature. It doesn't. It is not something that Allah has placed in us, installed in us. Initially, what Allah has installed in us is that we have to be just, we have to be to be kind, we have to have insaf with others. But of course, it's the greed which deviate us from that, usually. We greed, love and hate, such things. So it becomes a second nature, but it's not a fitra. Children are not born with that. You know, fitra is what the children are born with. Children are born with that. They may get it from the culture around them, but it's not something which is inborn.
Then, Sheikh, just to continue this one, so what you are trying to say is that the fitra is all the goodness, what Allah has put in somebody's heart, isn't it? All the goodness.
Yeah.
Now, you gave the example of a child born. A child is growing up, and he or she doesn't know that to snatch something from somebody else is bad. That I see it as a fitra, that a child sees that this is her or his toy. He or she will, if somebody takes it away, she will snatch it. So,
actually, Allama Tabatabai, whole theory is based on this, that part of human fitra is that naturally we want to attract all benefits for ourselves. However, there's another part which tells us that you have to be just, isn't it? But this, when this part of fitra prevails without or by ignoring the other part of fitra, which is to be just, to be kind, then this, all these disagreements and contentions come about. So, yes, of course, in our fitra we have that we have to attract benefits and repel harm. But to what extent we have to do it? What about other people's benefits? You see? The Allama says that this comes from the fitra, but people did not observe the limits of it. That's why the prophets were needed to come and tell them how to manage it.
Thank you. Riaz?
Assalamu alaikum. Can I possibly go back to the verse just before this? Because we have a discussion coming up on this particular subject, because it's not completely finished, yeah? So where it says, Zuyin al-lazina kafurul hayat al-dunya wa yaskhuruna min al-lazina aman. So it's pretty clear, is it not, that God is saying that don't look for justice in this world. Because it says it's glorified or it's adorned for those who disbelieve, and they laugh at those who believe, while those who fear Allah shall be above them on the day of resurrection. So all he's saying is, people who have less money might be more God-obedient, God-fearing, and people who might get more money might become big-headed, haughty, and forget God a little bit more than the poor people. You see, because when you go for social sciences, it's all about needs, isn't it? Somebody needs something. Right now, in this society, in the West, people don't need God. Because they don't have hajat, they don't have, oh, this is going wrong for me, I have trust in God and I'll ask him. There's no such thing. So the needs are not there. So if you look at the person who has too much money, his needs are less than the person with less money. So all I'm saying is, God is saying to you, if you are poor, hang on, your day will come. But it'll be in the day of resurrection. That's what it's telling me, this ayat. Can you maybe tell me I'm wrong?
You know, I don't imagine people in the West have no needs, you know. I mean, they have lots of psychological needs. And I mean, maybe materially, maybe in terms of basic needs. I mean, human beings always have these needs. I mean, a loved one dies, a loved one becomes sick, become ill, you know. It's not the case that because we have these amenities, we don't have needs. We always have needs. Now, some people have more amenities, some people have less amenities. And need is something very relative, actually. I mean, it's a psychological thing, isn't it? So I may be not very well to do, but I'm quite satisfied with what I have, and I have no need. Another person may be very rich and have a private plane and all these things, but they are in need because they always feel that they are always worried about what they money, isn't it, or how to protect it. So they are also in need. So we cannot say that, but the point is that it's true, justice cannot be fully done in this life. But Allah doesn't tell us that you should not mete out justice, isn't it? Allah tells us you have to actually look for justice in this world. Allah tells us that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ. So Allah is commanding us to seek justice in this world. However, we know that it is not possible to actually establish justice wholly. A man who kills 100 men cannot be punished enough, isn't it? Justice cannot be done. So it's left for the other world. But to the extent of human power, we have to seek justice in this world.
Thank you. Any sisters? No?
Assalamu alaikum. So, I'm just trying to think. Is it that we say that intrinsically we had moral values, and it was the moral values that was the communities were using? In
yes,
terms
of
yeah, the how they lived. So it didn't matter whether it was in this land or that land or whatever
land.
Or the whole community everywhere, that they were working through their intrinsic moral values. So as you were saying, that how to be good or
if
whatever.
If we don't have moral values, we never can actually follow prophets, isn't it?
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Follow them because of our moral values.
Yeah.
Because, for example, one of our moral values is that we have to be thankful to God. One of our moral values is that we have to appreciate the one who created us. So always we have, and these moral values are universal. Those who do not believe in a creator believe that, for example, if someone does good to them, they have to appreciate it, they have to thank it. So if you see the way the prophets address their people, they actually connected to these moral values. So if there was no if there is no fitra, if there are no more moral values, how can we follow prophets?
So my question really is that, are those moral values, right? Is it all that we need?
It's all that we need to follow prophets.
No, no, but then you'd say that, you know, before Prophet Nuh, then there weren't any prophets, so what about them? Right?
No, there was no guidance. The Imam says that they were zulal. Yeah. They were not guided. This guidance is an addition to that. And it's something that without it, we may get lost completely in our fitrah.
So they only came to set the boundaries of the moral values.
Set the boundaries and, of course, introduce God, remind people of his bounties. And there's a very beautiful statement in the first khutbah of Nahjul Balagha about why the prophets were sent. You have read it, of course. That لِيَسْتَعْدُوهُمْ مِيثَاقَ فِطْرَتِهِ وَلِيُذَكِّرُوهُمْ مَنْ سِيَ نِعْمَتُهُ, to remind them of the blessings that they had forgotten, to ask them to fulfill the covenant that they had with God in their fitrah and all these things.
Thank you. Sisters? No? Is that?
Sheikh, so if I understand, and what the sister was asking as well, that let's just assume that Adam was born, whatever you like, 7,000, 10,000 years ago. But Nabi Nuh, I think the Bible also says, and I've just been Googling, about 2,000, 3,000 years before.
Before Ibrahim.
Before Ibrahim. But he lived 1,000 years, 950 years. And you're saying that there were no prophets between Adam and Nuh, so all the 124,000 prophets came after Nuh?
No, the hadith says they were prophets, but they were actually living in taqiyah. They couldn't convey to people what was revealed to them Some of the hadith say that. Of course, we are not bound by these narrations because they are not 100% authentic. But what we can say is that Sharia, this is of course very firm, Sharia came with Nuh alayhi salam. Now, as I said, these dates are not very reliable. When Nuh lived, how long before Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the Prophet himself has rejected this type of genealogy from Ismail, which is given in the Bible, from Ismail to Adam alayhi salam, the Prophet rejects it. So,
what I was leading to was my consideration, which I always thought about the non-Abrahamic religion followers of the world today. We've got 1.5 billion Buddhist Chinese, we've got 1.2 billion Hindus, sizable proportion of the world population. They must have had a prophet.
They had prophets. Actually, some of our ulama believe that Buddha was a prophet.
Yes.
But was a prophet doesn't mean that Buddhists now are following, just like Christianity. Jesus was a prophet, but they are not. Like Islam as well. It's lesser extent.
And you also said that the earlier people, immediately after Adam, will be judged on the day according to what their fitrati inclinations were.
Their fitra, the dictator of their fitra.
Yeah, exactly.
Violated.
So as Sharia came on being introduced, every stage for the followers, it became more incumbent on them.
A bigger blessing was given.
At the same, bigger responsibility as well.
The bigger blessing.
Exactly.
Brings bigger
so the biggest responsibility is of the last prophets, Ummah.
Yeah, of course. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, the responsibility of Banu Israel that Allah mentions in the Quran is huge.
Yeah.
Because they were given lots of manifest proofs.
Yes.
And our responsibility is more than others, certainly. Yeah. But when if we follow guidance, of course, the place is higher.
Yes.
The place is much
both,
higher.
Yes. Rewards and risks. Yeah.
Rewards and risks. Now, I said about the Prophet, to be more accurate, he said rejected taking his genealogy beyond Adnan, his 20th. Forefather, he said that إِذَا بَلَّغْتُمْ نَسَبِي إِلَىٰ أَدْنَان فَأَمْسِكُ, when you take my lineage to Adnan, then do not go higher. Because Allah says there are lots of generations that you know, though you don't know about them.
So a child born within a Chinese household today or a Hindu household, just like in a Muslim household, will obviously follow his parents' faith. He is born fitrately pure, but the environment that Allah has produced him in is obviously adulterated, if I may use that word. In other words, it's not the original Buddha's prophet or not the original Hindu prophet who actually told them about what Allah was, but there were no rules then, but at least faith in Allah. So really, what I'm really trying to lead to is that I feel that we Muslims must regard this other members of other religion and the global ummah as equally, perhaps more likely to be pleasing to Allah than ourselves. Our responsibilities are huge, and one step wrong and we are in trouble. Those individuals, naive, didn't get the original books. Okay, Allah will judge them according to what they were.
As I said, these are what our narrations call, and also the Quran, mustaz'afin. Mustaz'af is someone who has no way to guidance, okay? Has no way to guidance, is weak in that sense. And these are treated very differently than those who are given faith and they have had this blessing. Those who are given faith and then change it into disbelief or distort it, Allah says they are cursed by Allah. But people who haven't received it, they are not cursed by Allah, isn't it? لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ دَاوُودِ وَإِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Now, some say that it is in their books. Allah has cursed, or said they cursed them. Because, of course, they had received this blessing and they had distorted it. You know, there is a difference. We have to make a difference between salvation and validity and correctness of faith, of belief. It's very important, because usually we confuse this between them. Say, for example, okay, Christians will find salvation if they are sincere. But that doesn't mean that their faith is valid. The mushrikun may find salvation if they don't have guidance. So that salvation is very different from salvation that, for example, those who receive guidance will have. Salvation may include many different groups of people, but that doesn't mean that their faith is also correct. What they believe in about Allah is also correct. And that's why this is the whole idea that why we invite other people to Islam. We say this is a higher blessing. This is a more correct version of Deenullah. And if you follow this, you will prosper more than if you just follow your own faith. This is why we call people to Islam. So although we believe that many people may be saved because they haven't received or they haven't been convinced, but it doesn't mean that their views, their ideas are correct.
Isn't it a safer mode to have the salvation, not have the faith in this world, but have the salvation? Very safe.
You may say, is it not safer that we are not given life at all, so that we don't go to hell?
You can take that argument that way. No, but I'm really saying that our responsibilities are huge. If we, our what we have inherited, the final prophets, the final Sharia, our responsibilities are huge. And
that's
this
true.
Yeah, and for us even not communicating with others and not having shade with our neighbors and the land that we have spread, huge responsibility.
Thank you,
so
Sheikh.
How much we have to pay?
Just a minute. Just a minute. I think if there are any sisters who wants to come in, any sisters? I think before Riyadh, there's a gentleman here, the next. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. My question really was just about the fitra and the first community after Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Do you think that, or are we saying that the community were received guidance because they forgot Allah because they were moving away and, as you say, were exploiting each other? Or are there limits to how far the fitra can take you towards being insan kamil? Can you not reach these higher levels without, other than fitra, without a guidance as well?
What the verse says is that because they actually arrived at contentious relationship, فَاخْتَلَفُوا فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِينَ, then we sent the Nabeen. Now, one, if for those who say they were on faith, not on fitra, I said this is the, there are three views. They were kuffar, they were believers, they were on fitra, okay? For those who say that they were on faith, they said that the faith was a natural thing. It had come from Adam alayhi salam, and they were following it. And then they had sheikh, they had other prophets. They were not prophet like Nabiyeen, like Nuh alayhi salam, having sharia. No, there was no sharia. People could actually manage their relationships without sharia. And they knew that they have to remember God, they have to worship God, things like that. Then because this contention arose, we don't know how long until Nuh alayhi salam it continued, then Allah sent the Nabiyeen to settle this. So I know what you mean. You mean that if there was no such a disagreement, fitra would have been enough to guide people. But in the hadith that we have, I just read part of it, Imam alayhi salam says that after they disagreed, Allah decided to give them a higher guidance. And then he says that these juhal think that Allah never does anything new and everything is destined from beginning, but Allah says, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. So Allah decided to give them higher guidance, and he gave them. So, of course, this has been destined in Ummul Kitab, but later on, it came as something new. This guidance came as something new.
Thank you. Any sisters before we go back to the brother?
Now you realize how complicated this Khan and Nas Ummatan Wahida is, isn't it? Well, it's a really complicated matter.
Now, sisters, okay, Riyad.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much for the lecture and for this very interesting discussion. Sheikh, the issue about Mustazafin comes up regularly. And my view is that since the advent, since the mid-20th century, definitely, and until now, can anyone actually say or have a defense of being somebody who has not been guided? There is just so much availability since the explosion of information availability that it becomes difficult for somebody, even in the most remotest corners of the earth, to say that they didn't know about the guidance. Of course, it doesn't take away from our own amplified responsibility to make sure that our faith is available and we give people an understanding within the context in which we live. And yes, you know, we can talk about the Salaam Center if we want, but actually that is one of the core purposes of such an advent and becomes our responsibility to help our brothers in humanity.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that is, as I said, that's a sort of low-level salvation doesn't mean that we have no responsibility to call other people to this higher God, provided, of course, we are guided ourselves with it and can guide people correctly to it.
Thank you. Any sisters? Surprise from the last one.
Sam Sheikh, if I describe to you an understanding of fitra, can you please see if it's correct? That, for example, greed, you were talking about greed. Greed is something in our fitra, and when we're greedy for Allah's pleasure, when we're greedy for knowledge, when we're greedy for guidance, that's very good. He wants us to do that. But when we turn our attention from akhirah to dunya and use that greed for other things, that's when it becomes bad. So fitra is like an engine, a driver of human beings. It drives us. And the only the negative aspects that we see of any human characteristic is because of a fitra which has been perverted.
Absolutely. And the verse is زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The حَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا is adorned for kuffar because they don't believe in anything after that. And if you do not believe in anything beyond this world, the fitra is used only for this world, isn't it? And when it's used for this world, yeah, that sense of attracting benefit changes into greed. that sense of fending off harm changes into wars, killing other people, you see? So when attention is to this world, then of course the fitra will be perverted. Absolutely right.
Thank you, Maharaj. Any other last one? No? Thank you, Maharaj Sheikh. Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salman.